Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, with apologies, is daf Chof Vav. So, we're holding in the middle of a machlokas between Rava and Rabba. And Rava and Rabba's machlokas was a machlokas on how to understand another machlokas. That other machlokas was the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which also was similar to a machlokas that was like it between the Rabbonan and Rabbi Akiva. So the case that we had in our Mishnah, which was, do we say neder shebato mitzvah shebato kulo or not, was a case where a guy had made a neder that the people that are eating the figs off of his tree, he's ushering those figs behind, they're all a bunch of ganavim, and so on. It turns out that the guy's father and his brother were some of those people. So the question is, we say that obviously he wouldn't want it to include his father. What's the din of the other people? So this was one of the cases of a neder that was an idre shigagos, because he did not want to include his father. But it entered a whole new question, and that was that since only part of this neder was not meant, but the rest of it was meant, so what's the deal? Now, we analyzed that since the entire halacha is based on a special pasuk that says, Asher yivate ha'adam b'shvua. And from there, we learned out the idea that a person has to be completely invested. Ha'adam b'shvua. A person has to be invested in the shvua that he makes. So the idea over here of not including his father, that part follows. Okay, we don't include his father. The question is, since it says, livate ha'adam b'shvua, what would be the din of the rest of the Shvuah? So, in the Neder, actually, we're talking about over here, we said the same thing would be true about Shvuah. I said the Gemara, I keep saying Shvuah, but I mean Neder. So, we said that, according to Beit Hillel, the halacha is that, look, if the Neder is batel miktasa, then batel kulay. You can't have half of a Neder. That's what it seems to be saying. And Beit Shammai said, no, actually, you could. You could have half of a Neder. And only the part that's batel is batel. And the rest of them are aser. Okay. Now, it turned out that we had the same machlokas. Sounds like exactly the same machlokas. A guy makes a neder. He's not going to drink wine the whole year. And, of course, the whole year includes Shabbat and Yontif. And then we gave him a petach for the neder so that he can get out of the Shabbat v'yontif. Or possibly he had charata. And according to Rambam, charata and a petach are not two completely different issues. It would be the same idea that the neder is batel. The only rishon that says it makes a difference that I know of is the Rashba. But we won't talk about that now. I just want you to be aware of it. So right now, part of the neder was batel. In the case of the Mishnah, the part of the neder was batel because it was nidrei shigagos. And in the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Ad Sheba, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva taught us that Neder Shabbato Mitzase, Bato Kulai, there it wasn't Bato because it was Nidre Shigagos, it was Bato because it was a Petach for the net. Fine. But the point is that we have a machlokas about whether Neder Shabbato Mitzase, Bato Kulai. Now, the sub-machlokas is where does that obtain? So this is a machlokas between Rava and Rabba. So the first sheet that we had in the Gemara was Rabba. And Rabba says, look, the question over here is, was there a change in Asher Yevate? Would the person have said the neder differently? And therefore, there's a mistake in the Iker neder formulation. So does it really matter? Yes, it does. Because consider that the guy knows that his father is there, right? So then he says, listen, guys, I said all of you are usher. You think I would ever have said all of you are usher and I would just add afterwards, except for Abba? I mean, that means that everybody listening to me would think for that second, until I said the words except for Abba, they would think that I meant to include my father? What kind of jerk do you think I am? I never would have said that. So then that means that it is a very significant issue to him the way that it was formulated. I said everybody's usher. I never would have said that. So in the case where he would have changed the entire ways, you know what I would have done? I would have said, the guy to the right of my father is usher, and the guy to the left of my father is usher. That's all I would have said. Then it would have been clear that I don't ever mean to include my father, right? But now that's a completely different neder. That's not kulchem, except that's a different neder. Mr. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so are usher. That, says Rabba, that is where Rabbi Akiva is saying that the neder is batal. But if he wouldn't have changed the essential phraseology, and he would have said, oh, I would have made it very clear. I mean, I would have just added the words, except, of course, for my father, you know. So instead of simply saying all of you, I would have added to the words all of you, I would have added except for dad. Okay, so then there isn't any fundamental change. In that case, says Rabba, nobody would hold that the neder is batal, because why should it be batal? I mean, there's no really significant change over here. See, this is a one-upmanship day here, I see. Fine. So, that was how Rabba understood it. Okay, now Rabba understood it exactly the opposite way. And Rabba said, no, on the contrary. The idea that neder shabbat mitzvah shabbat kulay, actually, everybody is made it to that idea. Even Beit Shammai is made it to the idea. The question is that Beit Shammai holds only if you're going to make a complete change, whereas Beit Hillel and Rabbi Akiva hold that no, even the additional words, except for Abba, are a complete change. Why? Because there's a machlokas in Tmura between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, whether when a person makes a statement, is the essential part of the statement the opening, or does the statement have to hold together beginning and end, and we don't just listen to part of it. And that's basically the issue over here. If you hold that the opening is the essential part of a statement, so then if the guy says, I only would have clarified by adding the words, except for Abba, so then the opening of the statement is unchanged. Now, that's Rabbi Meir Shita. And if that's the case, again, as we clarified yesterday, it certainly is not the same as the Machlokas. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi were over there. The two parts of the statement were contradictory. He said, Tumur HaSayla, Tumur HaShlamim, and it had to do with all kinds of other issues. But we're not focusing on the details of the Machlokas. We just want an outtake from that machlokas. The bottom line is that it boils down to Rabbi Meir believing that the first part of a statement always is its essence. And Rabbi Yossi says that's not true. Okay, so now, if Beit Shammai, or the Rabbanan arguing Rabbi Akiva, if they hold like Rabbi Meir, so then when the guy says, I never would have made that neder, I said all of you, I would have said it by saying all of you, except for Abba. You just said the same thing. No, I didn't. I said except for, yeah, that was a tag online, but basically the same statement. So therefore, according to Beit Shammai, there's no change. So where's the question of Adam B'Shvuah? Where's the mistake? The Kulchem anyway never included Abba because we have a din of Nidre Shigagas. And we know that he didn't mean to include Abba because of that special halacha of Adam B'Shvuah that allows us to say that apparently he didn't mean that, and that that's enough, because we have no reason to believe that that's really what he meant. And as far as the formulation is concerned, there's no change. So fine, so nothing changed. Abba wasn't included in the beginning, and Abba isn't included in the end, and everybody else is. What's your problem? That's what Beit Shammai is saying. But in the case where there was a change, and he says, oh, I never would have said all of you. I would have said Mr. So-and-so and Mr. So, or the guy to the right and the guy to the left. So then, of course, even Beit Shammai is moda, right? Because then it has nothing to do with the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. It's a complete change in the formulation of the neder. A neder of kulchem and a neder mentioning particular people are totally different types of nedarim. Therefore, says Rava, well, of course Beit Shammai would have agreed in that case. And of course the Rabbanan who argued with Rabbi Akiva in the case of Shabbat and Yom Tov, where a guy ushered himself in wine all year long, of course they would have agreed in that case too. So it turns out, just to remind you again, the simple way to remember is that according to Rava, there is nowhere that Beit Shammai holds that a neder Shabbat mitzvah Shabbat kulay, even in the event that there was a complete change in the language. And according to Rava, there certainly is a place where Beit Shammai is made, and where the Rabbanan are made. Okay. Now, today we want to examine a problem with the approach in Rava. Now, this is a actual quote that is a continuation from that Mishnah. So in other words, we spoke about the case of the Yom Tov and Shabbos in the passage of the year. So the issue over there is that the Mishnah actually goes on to say, Ketzad Omar Rabbi Akiva Neder Shehuter Mikzasa Huter Kulei. And now look at this, Tainas Rav Papa, because this seems to find that the Mishnah itself, by the way, the Ron calls it a Brisa, but it means a Mishnah, because it is in the Mishnah. It's a whole bunch of discussions over here among the Achronim, the later Achronim, including the Rashash. This is something that we've spoken about in the past, that when a Mishnah is not a local Mishnah, then sometimes it's referred to as the Tanya, or sometimes it's referred to as a Brisa. And even though there's always somebody who changes the Girsa on the Daf, and the Maseret Sashash usually says the Tanya and so on, it's not necessarily so. And this, I keep pointing this out to you. This is important to remember. So there's no reason to change the Girsa in the Ran that he didn't hold at this part of the Mishnah. This part of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah continues on. So therefore, I am asking you, says Rav Papa, from the very Mishnah that quotes Rabbi Akiva, okay, and it makes it very clear that Rabba's approach is right and Rava's approach is wrong, and I don't understand how do you ignore the Mishnah. Now, the way that Rav Papa understands the Mishnah is really very difficult to believe, okay, as you'll see yourself. And in the end, Rava is gonna smack back against Rav Papa and say, what a crazy way to understand the Mishnah. It doesn't really make any sense. So don't let that bother you. But what's happening over here is that the Mishnah, as stated, makes no sense at all. Absolutely no sense. So anyway, we're going to have to make some kind of level of understanding, because the Mishnah is very shorthanded. It doesn't explain what the guy would have said and what he did said, and it isn't clear whether the Mishnah is saying, this is what I would have said, or the guy is saying, this is what I did say, or the guy is saying, I stick with what I said. So we really don't know what the cases are. So let us pretend that Rav Papa is right, and that this is what the Mishnah is saying. So here's how Rav Papa reads the Mishnah. So, Ketzad Amar Rabbi Akiva Neder Shuta Mikzasa Uta Kulei. When did Rabbi Akiva say that if part of the neder is batal, that the whole neder is batal? If a guy says, Konam She'eni Nene Lukulchem, I will not be Nene from any of you, and it turns out one of them was daddy, so then Hutar Echad Miem, if one of them is Mutter, so then Hutru Kulam, all of them are Mutter. Okay, we're going to see what the case is. What did he say, and what did he change his mind afterwards? What about if he said it differently? What if he said, I'm not going to be Nana, not to you, and not to you, and not to you, and I would have changed that, is the way that we're going to end up understanding that, I would have changed that to be Lekulchem Chutz Mi'aba. So before I said, the guy in the red shirt, and the guy in the purple shirt, and the guy in the green sweater, and so on and so forth, and that included my father, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said all of you except for Abba. So, that's case number two. So case number one was where he says, I would have changed the Kulchem. This is how Rav Papa's understanding it. I would have changed the Kulchem. And I would have said that not Kulchem, I would have said only the guy with the green sweater and the guy in the red shirt, whatever. That's case number two. So in that case, she'ini nene lezev lezev lezev, hutar harishon hutar kulam, hutru kulam, which does not mean what it says, according to Rav Papa. Hutar harishon hutru kulam means if any of them end up not being included, since he would have changed his nusach, so then the whole neder is batal. And now we have a third case. I mean, I agree. This is a crazy way to read the Mishnah, but this is how Rav Papa's understanding it. The third case is that Hutar Acharon, which doesn't mean Acharon, it could be any of them. The same way the Rishon didn't mean the Rishon, the Acharon doesn't mean the Acharon, and it means,
Recording in progress.
My gosh, sorry. Can you hear me? Okay, can you hear me okay now?
Yes, the last words were, it does not mean what it says.
Right, so the Hutara Rishon doesn't mean Rishon, the Achron doesn't mean Achron. It's just indicating that this is a third case in which if one of them is Mutter, then all of them remain Usser. That's how Rav Papa understands it. And as I said, Rav is going to come back and say, that is nuts. How does the Mishnah mean that? But okay. But let's assume that that's what the Mishnah means. So then, here's my question, says Rav Papa. Now, according to Rappa, I can explain the Mishnah the way I just understood, okay? I can explain the Mishnah means like this. So let us just assign simple ways of referring to it. Remember that according to Rav Papa, the Mishnah consists of three parts. Part number one is where the guy said, Kulchem, and he says, but I would have said, Lezeva, Lezeva, Lezeh. Part number two is where the guy said, Lezeva, Lezeva, Lezeh. And again, all of this is invisible in the Mishnah. The case that is given in the Mishnah is just the idea of Kulchem or Zeva, Zeva, Zeh, but that's how we're understanding it. So in the case where he says, I said Lezeva, Lezeva, Lezeh, that's the second case, but I would have said Kulchem Chutz Mi'Aba. Now, this introduces a new idea. Because until now we understood that a person would want to avoid as much as possible giving anybody the suggestion that his father was included. And therefore, he would try to avoid Kulchem because that would sound for a moment until he says Chutz Mi'Aba, would sound like he meant to include daddy, right? But this Mishnah is pointing out that the opposite could also be true. Because suppose there's five people there. So then the guy says, oh, gosh, I said Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C, Mr. D. I would never have said that. Because if I started listing Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C, Mr. D, then somebody listening in could have said, this jerk is probably going to end up saying, and daddy. Right? So I wouldn't want anybody to sit there while I'm listing everybody, and he has to wait to see if I'm going to list daddy. Is he going to list daddy or is he not going to list daddy? I absolutely would not do that. I would have said straight out at the beginning, everyone except Abba. That is much, to me, that's a much bigger kibbutz than to start saying everybody by name, and then people could suspect I was going to include Abba, even though in the end I didn't. Okay, so you're saying they're crazy. Why would they do? I don't know, but people are nuts, so I'm not going to take a chance. Fine. So then you see that there would be a chiddush, according to Rabba, in both case one and case two. Case one would be where I would change the klal, the kulchem. I would have changed it to Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C. And I'm very much careful. I would do that because I feel it would be terrible to say kulchem. And case two is, I think it's terrible to make a list of people. It's better to say kulchem. But in either event, the guy is saying, I made a terrible mistake in how I phrased this shvua, right? So in both of those cases, there's a chiddush, changing the klal to a bunch of prat, or changing the prat to a bunch of klal. It's a chiddush that either way, it makes sense for a person to be sensitive to that language and to claim that he would have avoided that language if he had realized his father was there. So therefore, when I'm giving the examples, I'm telling you a nice chiddush. I'm saying, don't think it's only that direction. It's in either direction. And the halacha, according to that, is that according to Rabba, remember, Beit Shammai and the Rabbana never have a case where they would say, Nedesh Abata Mitzvah Abata Kuvah. And therefore, when the Mishnah is coming to explain, so where does Rabbi Akiva say that? Rabbi Akiva says it only where he would have changed what he said. Okay. So, case one says, yep, you would have changed it from kulchem to zeh zeh zeh. That's where Rabbi Akiva said bottom. Case two, he changed it from zeh 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 to kulchem. That's also a chiddush. That's also a valid change. That's where Rabbi Akiva, and that's where Beit Hillel would have said that it's bottom. And what's that last weird case that says, it doesn't explain it at all. It just says that the last one is mutter, but all the others are usser, which doesn't mean the last one. It means one of them. That is where he said, I would have said kulchem. I did say kulchem, and I would have said kulchem. Fine. Okay, so then according to Rabbah, indeed, Rabbi Akiva never argued in that case because he says there's no change. And just adding the words to chutz mi'aba at the end, that's not considered to be a real change. Remember, that was the way that Rabbah said it. Rabbah says it has nothing to do with the first words, last words. That's irrelevant, right? So according to Rabbah, do you see, says Rav Papa, that the way that I just read the Mishnah is fine? Okay. I mean, I understand it leaves a lot out, but, you know, at least it makes sense. So according to Rabbah, we can make it make sense. Now, according to you, however, Rava, I don't understand. Bishlama Resha. So you could say, now, there's another problem, according to Rav Papa, gentlemen. I'm really sorry to do this to you, but there doesn't seem to be much choice. The words Resha and Seifa mean two completely different things, whether we're talking about according to Rava or we're talking about according to Rava. But this is not arbitrary. There's a very good reason for it. The reason is that according to Rava, cases 1 and 2 are both referring to where he would have changed his language. Why do we need two cases to talk about the same change of language? Because I might have not realized that there's just as much a reason to change the language from all of you to Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C, as there is from changing the language Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C to Kulchem. It depends where the guy feels there is a bigger chance of his being misunderstood as including daddy, right? So there's a chiddush in that, because according to Rabbah, that's the main point. Is the language something that was a real mistake or it wasn't? But now, according to the way Rava understands it, there's no difference between the first two cases. Because I don't understand what the chiddush would be, according to Rava, in what it is that he said. Because you're saying, let's take the first case. So the first, and I'll explain why we can't learn the second case to be the same switch in a minute. So according to Rav, Bishlama Resha, okay, you can say that the very first case in the Mishnah, where he said the Kulchem, is saying, listen, I said Kulchem, and I would have still said Kulchem. I just would have made it clear that it's Chutz Mi'aba, okay? Now that is, it's true that in that case, the only one who would have said that it's Batal, the way that Rava understood it, the only one who would have said that it's Batal is Beit Hillel or Rabbi Akiva, which is what we're talking about here. But Beit Shammai would have said, well, so that's not considered to be a change, because you said that if you just add the words at the end, then Beit Shammai was going like Rabbi Meir. That's what you said. And Rabbi Meir said that's not called a change because the original part of the statement remains unchanged, right? Okay, so that first case is good. But the second case is ridiculous. Why? So you'll ask, why? Why can't the second case be the same thing where he was changing lezev, 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 and he took lezev, 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 and he's changing it back to kulchem? And he's saying, I still would have said the same thing. Remember, according to Rava, he's saying, I didn't change it. That's exactly why it's only Rabbi Akiva, because I didn't change anything. Well, what's the difference? I don't understand. Is there a chiddush? There's no chiddush. He's saying, I wouldn't have changed it. I wouldn't have changed Kulchem, and I wouldn't have changed Lezev, Lezev, Lezev. I just would have left out my father's name. Well, that's not a change, right? And basically keeping the same structure of the netter. So there would be no point whatsoever, according to Rava, to have case number 2 be the same as case number 1, where I said Kulchem and I still would say Kulchem, or I said Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C, and I still say Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C. That's just a waste of time. Obviously, that's the same netter, right? If even adding the name except for Abba is not considered to be a change, according to Beit Shammai, so certainly just leaving out one of the names isn't considered to be a change, okay? So therefore, the Resha cannot be cases 1 and 2, according to Rava, because they have to be referring to different cases, or they're merely repetitious. Whereas according to Rava, the Resha includes cases 1 and 2, because each one is a Chiddush. Because going from Zevezet to Kulchem is a chiddush. We never realized that somebody would be makpid davka in that direction. So what's to tell us, even in that direction? Is this clear? Otherwise, this whole sugya is insanely confusing. Okay, so we're using the word, the resha, to mean case number one in this kasha. So now, you, Rava, you explain case number one, that it's talking about that he said kulchem, and he says, and I would still say kulchem. And that's exactly where you said there's the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, and that's fine. So the Mishnah comes to explain, where is the machlokas? Here is where the machlokas is. That's good. Rava, baby, if that's what the Mishnah would have said, it stopped right there, I would give you a piece of cake. But it doesn't stop right there, okay? So now how are you going to read the next case? That's what I want to understand. What does the next case say, okay? The next case means the next case. The Sefer doesn't mean that last case, Acharon. Sefer means right away the second case. So the Sefer, which says that if I would have known that my father was there, I would have changed things. I mean, that has to mean I would have changed things, because otherwise it doesn't tell me anything. So I would have changed things, and I would have said, instead of Kulchem, I would have said, Lezeva, Lezeva, Lezeva. Now you understand that that itself is nuts. The first case, it's saying what he would have said. And the second case, and that is the first case is Gufa saying that I would have said the same thing. And the second case is saying, no, I would have changed it to say the opposite. And what is it that I would have changed it to? I would have changed Kulchem to be Lezeva, Lezeva, Lezeva. I mean, it's a little bit strange. Okay. So we have to understand that the cases are, he said Kulchem. In the first case, when the Mishnah says Kulchem, it means, and I would still say Kulchem. And the second case is, and now I wouldn't say Kulchem. Now I would say Lezeva, Lezeva, Lezeva. Right? Okay, fine. I'll go along with Rav Papa, even on this. All right. Very good. Now, why in the world does it say that Rabbi Akiva argues here? Rabbi Akiva doesn't argue here. According to you, everybody agrees. You said that even Beit Shammai agrees if you change the entire structure of the Neder and you change Kulchem to Lezeva, Lezeva, Lezeva. So then, it's not only Rabbi Akiva that would hold that. You said Beit Shammai would hold it. The Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Akiva would hold it. So, you're in big trouble now, Rava, because the Mishnah makes no sense. Okay, so Rava says, hey, according to me, the Mishnah makes no sense. What you just said makes no sense. I understand. How did you explain the Mishnah according to Rava? By blithely ignoring the words L'Rishon and L'Achron, and a Rishon just means somebody, and an Achron also means somebody, and for some reason we just happen to talk about the first guy, and then we talk about the last guy. This is ridiculous. Of course that can't be what the Mishnah means. So, I mean, what are you trying to say? V'l'Rabba. I mean, you can leave out the words of Rabbi Akiva, because that's not the point. V'l'Rabba, Minech. You really think the Mishnah just worked out well according to Rabba? What are you talking about? How did Rabbah explain the last part of the Mishnah? So you said Rabbah explained that, the third section of the Mishnah, that he said Kulchem, and he says, and I would still say Kulchem. That's how you explained it, right? That's what you said Rabbah said. So then can you explain to me which is the first guy and which is the last guy? He didn't change anything. What do you mean the first guy and the last guy? There's no first guy and last guy in a case where he said Kulchem. What first guy and last guy? These are crazy. So obviously you missed the point of the whole mission. You don't understand what the mission is talking about. Now here's how to understand the Mishnah. If you want to be serious, the Mishnah is obviously introducing a new concept of chained nedarim. That's the point. And when it says the first guy or the last guy, it means exactly what it says. It has nothing to do with Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel or anything else. The Mishnah here is introducing a new case. And that's what this business is of Rishon and Achron and so on. It's trying to say that, of course, we need to distinguish in a case where the neder was done by chaining the first person to the second person. Name, Kagon. The Reisha is fine. I mean, it works exactly the same, both according to Rabbah and according to me. The Reisha is talking about where he said, Kulchem. Yes, exactly as it said. And then he realized, oh my God, my father is over there. And according to Rabbi Akiva, the way I understand it, It makes absolutely no difference whether he would have changed it to something else or he wouldn't. Because remember that according to me, Rabbi Akiva would have said, Neder Shabbato Mitzasai, but Lakulai. If it's not going to include the father, then it doesn't, then it's a different Neder. So according to me, if he would have changed it, then everybody would have agreed. Then the Mishnah would never have said that only Rabbi Akiva holds. Remember, according to me, if you change it, nobody would argue. But Rabbi Akiva holds Bichlal. Okay, according to Rabbah, explain it however the heck you want. So according to Rabbah, it's talking about that he said, I would have changed it to Zeva, Zeva, Zeh. According to me, it doesn't matter. Fine. But now, can we talk seriously about the last part of the Mishnah? Because the last part of the Mishnah has nothing to do with what you're talking about. It's introducing a new case. And what it's saying is, the Seifa is saying, what about in a case? And the Seifa means the second part and the third part. And there's a major difference between the Rishon and the Achron. Why? Because he connected one to the case, one case to the next case. He actually made a chain of Nedarim. So first he says, see that guy in the green sweater? I make him usher with a konam on any of my figs. And the guy in the red shirt next to him, same thing to the guy in the red shirt. And that guy who's wearing the purple bathrobe, same thing as the guy in the red shirt, and so on. So he keeps linking the next guy to the guy that he said before. So now it's coming to tell me, halacha, that each one of those nedarim are considered to be a separate neder, which is totally dependent on the fact that he was matvisit in the neder before. So wherever the chain is broken, everything from that point on is broken. That's what it's coming to tell me. So if the first one is the one that was his father, the guy in the green sweater, so then none of them are usher, because after all, the guy in the red shirt was only usher if the guy in the green sweater was usher. But if the guy in the green sweater was his father, then none of them are usher. This has nothing to do with the question, Nedesh Uter Mitzas Uter Kula, for heaven's sake, says Rava. It's a completely different halacha. That's telling me that wherever you have a chain in that fasa, you need to take it as a serious different neder for everyone that is mutfas in the one before. That's all that it's coming to say. If the last one that he mentioned was daddy, then that doesn't affect anyone else. That's all that it's saying. Okay, you want me to prove it to you? I'll prove it to you. Daikanami, because there is, in fact, a brisa that spells it out. Although here, too, the Mishnah spells it out. So it doesn't have to say D'tanya. But again, it could use the word D'tanya. Because you conveniently left out the words, which was really, I mean, that was sophistry. You left out the words, hutar emtsa'i, if the middle one ended up being hutar, so daddy was the middle one, then from that point down, the chain is broken. And from that point up, the neder remains the same. So how do you explain that, my dear Rav Papa? What does that have to do with what you're talking about? This doesn't have to do with neder shuta mitzasa. It's not arbitrarily Mr. One and last one. It's exactly where it is, where the precise place where the chain breaks. Up until there, it's usher and everybody included. Up to that point, and from that point on, nobody's included. That's all that it's saying. It's beferish. It's to say, men of ulamata mutarim. Ulamala Asurim. So can we please dump your ridiculous explanation of this Mishnah? Thank you very much. The Mishnah works out just fine, both according to me and according to Rabbi. You can adjust it the way you want. That the last part is not talking about Nedesh Uter Mitzasa in this sense of Uter Mitzasa. It's talking about Uter Mitzasa because there was something wrong with the chain that connected them. That's all. Now, can we move on, please? Okay. So comes along now Rav Ada Bar Rava. And he challenges also Rava, and he says, let's take a look at the Mishnah later on that says, if a guy says that I am making a konam on myself for ever eating any onions, because onions are bad for the heart, and I've really decided to be a good boy and take good care of my heart. Okay, now, of course, as we know, every week there's another thing about what's good for your heart and what's bad for your heart. So fine. So this time somebody says to him, ah, but you didn't know that kufri onions are great for the heart. That's the latest superfood. kufri onions. So, you made a big mistake of swearing off onions, I can tell you, buddy boy. So then the guy says, oh, my gosh, I didn't know that. So then the deal is that he's actually mutter to eat the kufri because it was one of these nidrei shagogos. This is exactly like the case of the wife where he said, because she stole my wallet. And then it turned out she never stole his wallet. So he says, I thought all onions were bad. So certainly I never would have answered this because, fine, okay, so the kufri is okay. But he's mutter not only in the kufri, he's mutter on all kinds of onions. And there was even once a maisa like this, and Rabbi Meir said, you can eat any kind of onion. Once you realize you made a big mistake about superfood onions, so now you can eat any onions. Okay, so far, essentially, what we're talking about is the same thing that we've been talking about in this Mishnah. The only thing that is problematic over here is that we involved Rabbi Meir. Oh, my gosh. Now, that is a big problem. For Rava made the whole machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel dependent on the sheet of Rabbi Meir. And that Rabbi Meir says, we look at whether there would be a change only at the beginning. But if a guy would have changed at the... Now, I'm assuming that once this guy heard about superfood kufris, he would have said, oh, well, had I known, I would have said, I mean, I still believe that onions are bad for the heart. That was last week's news. So I would have said, I'm swearing off onions except for kufri, which means he would have just added those last words, right? Now, the problem is, since, according to Rava, Beit Shammai's entire reasoning was that he held of Rabbi Meir, and that if you make a change by adding something to the end of the words kulchem, well, Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that that's really much of a change. Now, I mean, I'm assuming if Beit Shammai was basing his whole idea on Rabbi Meir, so then Rabbi Meir must hold of Beit Shammai, right? I mean, that doesn't really necessarily follow because Rabbi Meir may have a different shita in terms of what's considered to be a change in the neder b'klal. But generally speaking, we assume that if one sheet is totally dependent on the other sheet, then they're probably going to be consistent. Obviously, this is not a desperate kind of question. But anyway, here's my problem, okay? I'm assuming that the case is that the guy would have said, oh, if I had only known, I would have made it very clear. And the Ilu Hayiti Yodea, I would have said, Kol HaBitzali Basurim, exactly like I said before, but I would have thrown in the words, except for superfood kufri, right? But the problem is that according to you, and you claim that Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Meir, and he says, nothing changed. You would have said all onions. Yeah, but I would have added except for, don't tell me that's the end of the statement. You said all onions, and now you're saying, and I would have said it very differently. I would have said all onions. What are you, nuts? That's the same statement. Okay. So then how is it that you can explain that according to Rabbi Meir, I assume would have held like Beit Shammai, that in this case, Rabbi Meir himself says that the neder is uter miksasa and uter kulo. So how could Beit Shammai be semich or Rabbi Meir if Rabbi Meir himself says the opposite? And so, of course, Rava says, no, he would not have said, all are usher except for kufri? Are you kidding? After I just heard that kufri is a superfood, do you think that I would have said all onions and people would have looked at me like I'm crazy? I might have gotten shot. I mean, here a guy is coming along and insulting the latest superfood. I never would have said all onions. I would have said onion X, Y, and Z, those old-fashioned onions. Those are also, and then everybody would have been applauding. Oh, this guy is intelligent. He knows what's going on. And, of course, superfood kufri, that, of course, is the only onion that is suitable for anybody to eat, man, woman, or beast. So, okay. So, therefore, it's not talking about where he said, I would have said kulchem, so to speak. It's talking about ilo hayiti yodea, shakufri yofel alev, I would have said, okay, types A and B and C are usher. But of course, kufri is mutter. And that way, Rabbi Meir works out perfectly well. I mean, it's going both Aliba de Rabbi Akiva and Aliba de Rabbanan, the way I understand it, because, I mean, he's changing the nusach. And according to me, if there's a change in the Iker formulation of an Eder, everybody agrees, even Beit Shammai agrees. So this would work out perfectly fine. Huh. Okay. Sheesh. All right. I think this is really quite enough to put in your pipe and smoke today, because it's really a bit confusing. It's like ridiculously easy, but it's confusing. So it's kedai to go over it just so that when you read through this Gemara quickly, you'll remember the things that we spoke about, why we have to read the Reisha as cases one and two, the way Rav Papa was understanding it, Aliba Rabba, and the Reisha is only case one, Aliba the Rava, remember, because there would not have been any Chiddush since he didn't change what he said at all, according to the way Rav Papa understood Rava. And you have to remember that even though it said the first one and the last one, that Rav Papa was making the mistake of not believing that we were talking about a chain, that it was talking about anyone, and it just, in order to indicate that we're talking about other cases, so it used the word the first guy and the last guy, which is a little bit hard to swallow, but anyway, that's the way that Rav Papa understood it. And, then it's really very simple. So there's pieces that remain up in the air because, look, I mean, it's not, the kasher was not really all that persuasive, but big deal. Just because Rabbi Beit Shammai holds Rabbi Meir certainly doesn't mean Rabbi Meir holds like Beit Shammai. And we have to also recognize that the words in the Mishnah mean completely different things. If you're learning it like Rava, where he's talking about, in both cases, I would have changed it to the opposite of what it said. And in the case of Rava, the first case is talking about, I would have kept it the way it was, and the second case is, I would have changed it too, which is like, okay, fine. Those are the things you have to remember. But other than that, there's really nothing so complicated over here, okay? So just, if you review it now, it'll stick, because it's really easy.